Welcome to the Dad's Podcast, discussions about dad stuff. I am Dan Pelham, founder of the Solo Dad Movement and host of the Dad's Podcast. Feel free to reach out to me and share your story at thesolodadmovement.com, email thesolodadmovement@outlook.com, Facebook, The Solo Dad Movement, Instagram, the_solo_dad_movement, Twitter, @thesolodadmove1. In this podcast, I will be interviewing dads and men from all walks of life in hopes that maybe someone will hear their story and understand that they are not alone. I want to shift fatherhood from boys don't cry, tough it out, and the disciplinarian to a place of love, empathy, and understanding from men who are willing to share their stories and feelings with others. I really hope you enjoy this journey into what it means to be a dad. All right, welcome back to another episode of Podcast Dads. I'm here with Jolie Zell, who is, for lack of a better term, my brother-in-law. Lisa, who was the children's mother, is his sister. Her sister was Sue, which is Joel's wife. So that's where we know each other from. And if you want to introduce yourself and tell people where you're from and where you were raised, it'd be awesome.
All right. Yeah, I am, as he said, Joel Ezell. I am born and raised in Colorado, mostly in the Denver area. In fact, I'm a third generation native Coloradan.
Nice.
Which not many people can say. That makes my children fourth generation.
Yeah, dude, I'm on that? 7 and 8.
All right. So, hey, yeah, not often I talk to somebody who's got me beat.
Yeah, no,
that's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you were raised, how was your dad as a dad? Was he strict? Was he around? Was he...
He was definitely around. He was, I'd say, you know, not extremely strict.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't expected to say yes sir, no sir.
Right.
Like, I saw his brother doing with his kids.
It was, right.
Yep. You know, yes sir, no sir. We didn't have that, but, you know, we were expected to treat him with respect.
And right.
We were disciplined if we got out of line, but overall, I remember him just being a nice, steady presence. In
yeah,
my life.
Nice, yeah. Nice. You guys had a big family?
Yeah, I guess fairly big. It was three of us kids for a large portion of my childhood, and then my the fourth one came along. My baby sister, she showed up when I was 13, and
nice.
My brother was 15, and my other sister was 11.
Nice.
So yeah, she was a late arrival, but much beloved.
Yeah. Were you guys raised with religion? Was it a big thing in your family?
Yes. I was raised Catholic, and that was a big part of our lives.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you pass that to your children?
Not as much.
Right.
No. It's something that we've... I'd say we've been middling on that.
Right.
Yeah. We've gone to church regularly sometimes, not so regularly other times.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. And how many kids do you have?
I've got three kids. My daughter, Catherine, is 13, and then I got boys that are 10 years old and coming up on 8.
Yeah. And when you were raised, what was your economical, you know, I mean, where were you guys at financially? Did you struggle? Did you do without? Were you okay?
No.
Did you not really know?
Yeah, we were pretty good.
Yeah.
We were, middle class, maybe getting towards upper middle class, but probably squarely in the middle class. Always had enough to eat, comfortable house, and good cars, good schools.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
And for your kids, you provide the same you think as your dad did, or you try and do better, or?
We do, well, I'd say that they get a little more than I did as a kid.
Yes,
I would
agree. I
can't necessarily say whether that's
better. Right, no, I agree.
Yep.
Absolutely. And as far as your goals for a dad, like, I mean, you know, when you look at your kids, what's your goals for them, I guess?
I'd say that, you know, we try to raise them to be respectful of everybody, to we try to avoid all prejudices as much as we can in terms of race or gender orientation, sexual orientation. Right. You know, some of that's a little more so than I was raised as a, a kid.
Absolutely.
For sure. We do our best to try to help them understand how privileged and fortunate they are.
Right.
And to, you know, definitely, you know, as you and I were talking before this, not say, oh, this is so unfair, or this is so hard. It's like, gosh, you guys have it so good. You have no idea.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. There is no struggle really to their lives. And I mean, obviously their kids, like, they have different generational struggles, you know, that we didn't understand. Like, we didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
Our lives were not able to be posted anywhere. We could do what we wanted to do. Yeah. And if we got caught, it's because somebody's parents saw us.
It's true.
You know, not because it was posted online or we weren't bullied online or, you know, we could avoid, oh, that guy's a bully, we could avoid him. You know, we knew. It wasn't like, oh, this kid's going to follow me home and tease me constantly.
True.
So that's a big thing.
Yeah.
How do you do with your kids on that? I mean, as far as electronics, is it monitors? Is it something that they kind of just have free reign over?
It's something, like every parent, we struggle to find the right balance.
Right.
You know, we set limits on what they can and can't do. Our 13-year-old is not yet on any of the social networks or anything. And she hasn't really begged to be on them, which has been a good thing, I think.
Right, probably a blessing.
You know, we, I think, try to strike a good medium with in terms of what they're allowed to watch and not allowed to watch. You know, our sons are not allowed to watch, you know, have unfettered access to Netflix or YouTube or any of that stuff, It's the kids' versions of those still. We try to limit their screen time, but they don't have a hard limit. It's not like 2 hours and we pull the plug.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes feel like we should be a little firmer about it, but there are times when we say you got to turn off the electronics and go play.
Right, find something else to do besides stare at the screen for a while.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
I think it's harder in today's society too, because I don't know if it's we don't feel as safe, but our kids don't have the freedoms we had.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
I mean, I could get on my bike and go and be gone for 8 or 9 hours, and I didn't have a phone. I didn't have no one had any way to get a hold of me. And nobody, I mean, it wasn't that they didn't care, but it's just how our lives were different.
Yeah. And we were trusted to you know, not get into too much
trouble. Well,
and
your
come
kids,
back when
I mean,
we need to come back.
Right, and you guys luckily have a pretty good neighborhood full of kids, so your kids can run around and be fairly safe and, you know, no busy streets, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I do definitely like that. And it's definitely not as, you know, wide open as it was when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, you know, even our 10-year-old, we have rules that say he cannot go outside of the side of our house, he's got to be within sight, unless he comes and talks to us first.
Right.
And only recently did we let him, you know, get on his bike with a friend and ride a half mile to the grocery store by himself.
Right. So, how would you think your kids would say you are as a parent? Strict?
I don't think so.
Lenient?
I think I would think they see me as being in the middle there, I don't know if I'd say just right, but,
You're definitely a good mixture of fun.
Yeah.
You know, and the rules, and so.
When they're having fun with me, they tell me I'm the best dad in the world.
Yep.
They haven't told me I hate you on the other side.
Gotta be doing something right, you know?
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. I think I've heard that at least once, maybe twice. You know?
Yeah.
What do you do for a living, and how do you balance your home and work life?
So I'm a software architect, and I feel very, very fortunate with my current job that I can work from home pretty much as much as I want. I can have very flexible hours.
Nice.
I can, you know, decide at the last minute that I'm going to get up and go spend the day at Elitch's with my family,
and then
I can make up some hours later at night.
Right.
So I think that's really nice. And trying to balance the work and family life. I started off thinking of things, my time is like a triangle with at each vertex, work, family, and time for myself.
Right.
and trying to keep that balanced as much as I can.
Nice.
I recently was talking to somebody, said, you know, you might want to think about making that into a square instead, with your wife being one of those vertices and your kids being the other ones. You know, that is a really good point. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I've tried to strike that balance a little more now, especially as the kids are getting older. And, you know, I don't feel like you don't have to be as hyper-vigilant as you do when they're a little teeny-weeny. They're more independent. So that's been nice, getting to spend more time with my wife, too. I think that's a really important part of being a dad, if you're lucky enough to have a good relationship with your wife.
Absolutely.
That helps make you be a stronger parent.
Yeah. Would you say you are the disciplinarian in your home?
I don't think so. No? I think it's about split 50-50 between my wife and me. I think I am seen as being maybe the one that's a bit more, I don't know about hardcore, but, you know, harder with the kids. I will, you know, sometimes get angry with them, be a little quicker to raise my voice and put the foot down.
Right.
Yeah, so... Have you seen Inside Out, the Disney Pixar movie?
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember the scene where they're showing inside the dad's head and they're getting ready to put the foot down and then they say, the foot is down,
right?
I get that sometimes from my wife,
Right, and I think that's, I mean, almost, I want to say generationally passed down.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, our parents were, and I don't know for your parents, but I would assume that your dad was the disciplinarian.
He was.
Your mom
more,
was the home taker, and she took care of the kids and, you know, made dinner and did that stuff. And your dad worked. And when he got home, you wait till your dad gets home. I'm sure you heard that in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, the anticipation for that was the worst.
Yeah.
Well, far worse than more trouble you got into.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, there's none of that in my family. There's none of that, you know, wait till your dad gets home. If they need consequences, they get consequences. It's just that it's usually delivered with a little softer hand with my wife than with me.
Right.
You know, she's really good about it. And she's actually helped me try to come from a place of, like, seeking to understand what is happening with them at the same time as being firm and giving consequences.
Right.
But, yeah, I tend to sometimes jump to the, you know, assumptions and sometimes shouting before I think, okay, I could have sat down and talked first.
Right. And do you feel like, that you bring your stresses upon your kids? I mean, your work and your stuff, like you have a bad day and it's, you're easier to snap on your kids.
Sometimes.
You know, it's easier to be like, oh, okay, you know, sorry that wasn't your fault, but...
It does happen.
Right.
Yeah, it happens to a lot of us. I try to, when I'm in that space, tell them, guys, look, I had a bad day. I don't want to yell at you. Please try to be extra good listeners tonight.
Right.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard to avoid it, but I try.
Yeah. Do you see college as something you're going to force your kids, give them a choice?
No.
Not something you're pushing towards?
I think we'll encourage it, but definitely not force it on them. If they want to do something else, then we'll support them in that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because I know your oldest daughter is very much into theater and production, so I don't know that college would be her best fit.
Yeah, although she is actually thinking about going to college, but trying to find one that has a strong theater program.
Okay, that'd be cool.
You know, getting a degree in something related.
Right.
Because her goal is, after she actually goes out and works on Broadway in her ideal world, or one of the top tier traveling production, she'd love to get a job at a high school teaching theater.
Nice. That'd be cool. All right. Nice. What are your goals for your children then, as far as when you look at their future, like, what do you want for them?
Yeah, I'd say the most important thing for me would be, I want for them to feel like they have a nice solid foundation to live their life on, and to overall be happy and well adjusted. I'd love for them to have a strong immediate family of their own, whatever that would look like for them. And, you know, of course I'd like for them to be comfortable and, you know, not be struggling financially.
Right.
But yeah, to me, the biggest thing is family. You know, I got a big extended family, right? My brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews and mom and dad, and we hang out a lot and try to just really ingrain in my kids the value of family. And I think it's happening. I would love for them to be coming over with their grandkids a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
My grandkids, their kids.
Right.
And
being raised Catholic and being your parents are Catholic would, I mean, I don't want to say accept is the right word, but if your kids chose a different lifestyle, whether that be gay or whatever they chose, is that something you support? You know, you would be okay with? Your family would accept? Do you feel like it doesn't matter?
Yeah. So, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I would have a little bit of a hard time personally. But I do feel that I would come to accept it and be fully loving and accepting of whatever happened.
Right.
You know, when I envision my perfect future for them, it's a traditional pairing and kids.
Right.
But overall, I want them to be happy. I do not want them to feel like they're forced into anybody's template of what the correct lifestyle looks like.
Right, or living a life that doesn't make them happy.
Exactly.
For sure. What do you think the biggest difference between your upbringing and theirs would be?
I think it is that I would have to say that I was being raised Catholic. It was, as you said, it's like what the church says, that is right.
Right.
That is completely 100% right, and everything else is just wrong. And and so that's it. You have to live by those rules or else you're going to hell.
Right.
Right? And I do not believe that. And that's not what we're telling our kids.
Right.
We're telling our kids that you need to, you know, be kind and caring and loving to other people.
Right.
Right? But and the church has a lot of good things to teach, but there are areas that we disagree with the church. And this is one that we've been very clear with them about, is that, you know, it's not our business who people choose to love.
Right.
And how they choose to live their lives in that way. And we need to accept what other people choose to do. What feels right to them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And one thing, like with my kid, I've been struggling with is letting him live his journey.
Yeah.
You know, and not being like, oh, I don't approve of that, right? It's not what I would pick, you know? Like, he's playing tackle football. The kid's on concussion number 3, and he's 10 years old. Like, I don't really want him playing tackle football, but on the other side of that coin, like, who am I to take that away from him?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
that's a tough call.
It is a tough call, and it's something that I've struggled with, and I've made it perfectly clear. Like, one concussion, and your season's over. Like, you know, I think now the state law is 6 concussions, and you're done till high school.
Mm.
You know, no matter what. And his response to that is, no one knows, I already had 3.
Wow.
Okay, well, I do. You know, so it's not something where it's a fine line to walk. I mean, he's got earrings, which had never bothered me. You know, he wears mismatched socks. Drives my mom crazy. She's like, can you please change your socks? And he'll go change his socks and put on mismatched shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just who he is. Like, he's not going to conform to.
Yeah.
But you look at all these other kids, and it's kind of what the style is. You know, he bleached his hair. That took 3 years of begging.
Wow.
Dad, I want to bleach my hair. I'm like, you're not bleaching your hair. You know, and the lady that did it was like, that's where I got it. She's like, why is this your journey?
Yeah.
She's like, why do you care if your kid has blonde hair? She's like, why do you care if your kid has blue hair?
Yeah.
You know, and it's my own hang-ups. Like, I guess I don't necessarily care, but, you know, and I think a lot of it is what I'm working on now is other people's image that I don't need to care about.
Right.
You know, what are other people going to think? And I think that. Well, what are people going to think about my kid? Well,
I hear you. Who cares? I hear you.
You know, like, it's what he wants to do. Like, why am I worried about people I don't know?
It's true.
And people I do know. Like, if you're not willing to accept my kid because he's different and a goofball, like, cool.
Too bad for you.
Yeah, don't. You're missing out, but, you know, he's a good kid. So, as far as if you could change something about the way you have parented or the way you would parent in the future, what do you think that would be?
It kind of fits in with what you were just saying about letting them live their journey.
Right.
I find myself a lot of times trying to show them the way that I do things.
Right.
And teach it to them like it's the right way to do things. Right. Right. And especially if I see them struggling with something, like trying to get something to work, it's not working. Oh, let me show you how to do it. Right. And whereas Suzanne's a lot more like, okay, yeah, you know, let them try. And if they ask for help, then they will. And if they figure out a way that's different to do it than what you do, well, hey, good for them.
Right, absolutely.
And so that, yeah, I find myself always having to try to, okay, I need to take a step back and just let them go. Let them learn their lessons on their own.
Yep. That's awesome. And then as far as your memories with your dad, what would you say would be some of your best memories with your dad? And what do you think your kids will look back on and say, that was probably the best thing about my dad?
Yeah.
You know?
I have really fond memories of playing at the pool with my dad and, you know, having fun playing in the water. And that's something I've really enjoyed doing with my boys. I hope they have as fond memories. And as I got older, we used to play a lot of pool in the basement. We had a pool table down there. And I really enjoyed that, and I got a pool table in my basement, and I've already started playing with my boys.
Nice.
It's really fun to do those things with them that I had a lot of fun doing as a kid. And I remember his sense of humor. He got his sense of humor, I think, a lot from his dad.
Right.
Who had a very dry sense of humor, a lot of puns and wordplay and that kind of thing. And I think I got a lot of that from him.
Yeah,
from my dad, and I hope I'm passing the same along to my kids. I love goofing around with them, and I'd say one thing I do a little more than he did is I like making fun of myself and pretending like I'm a complete idiot with my kids, but doing it in a way that they know I'm joking. So
absolutely.
I hope they'll remember that as goofball dad.
Right. I think it's funny, like doing these interviews, I've noticed you talk to people and ask them their greatest memories, and it's never the big vacations.
Yeah.
It's never where you spent the most money. It's never anything. It's never been anything like that for anyone. You know, it's always the little times.
Yeah.
The swimming in the pool and the playing pool and, the times that you were there.
Right.
And you were connected with your kids. It was like, okay, I'm not doing anything else but connecting with you right now.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't have to be, because I'm sure you went on vacations as a child.
Oh,
and I'm
yeah.
sure you have fond memories, though. So,
Definitely.
I know your kids have gone on vacations, Disney World a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, I know, and I hope the same for my kid. I hope when he looks back, it's the little things that were the big difference. You know, like my dad showed up.
Yeah.
You know, every football game I can remember, my dad was in the stands.
Right.
You know, or like you said, we went swimming every summer. And I knew my dad was going to take me swimming every summer. And that was something I look forward to, and you share with your kids. And, I hope, like I said, with Julian and his mom, I gave the kid everything. Financially, everything I could do. Dad, I want. Okay. You know, because I felt like he was doing without not having a mom.
Yeah.
So I spoiled him, and I hate the word spoiled because I don't think he acts like a spoiled child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think he walks around thinking he's better than anyone or he's not appreciative of the things that he has. So I hate the word spoiled, but the kid never did without. Ever.
Right.
I mean, he had $100 shoes. He has an Xbox. He has a PlayStation. He has a TV. Like, he has everything you can imagine. You know, and I hope when he looks back, that's not the part that was important.
Right.
You know, I hope it's the time that, my dad was home all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have the money I think I could make other ways, but I'm home.
Right.
You know, and whether it's, and I think when I started doing work outside of my house, him having that freedom, he was like, oh, this is awesome. You know, like he loved it. Like the first day, I remember I got home from work the first day. He's like, Dad, I'm really liking this for you working out somewhere else. I'm like, oh, yeah. He's like, I walked around the house naked till 11.
That's great. I love it.
And of course, he didn't, but it was just funny, and just the freedom. But now, I think he's from that freedom. I've gained trust in him for one, and two, he can do a lot more now. Like he can just get on his bike and be like, Dad, I'll be back.
That's great.
I have a phone, I know, he has, and it's crazy because he has the same rules I have. Don't cross a double painted line.
Yeah.
So he has some friends that live on the other side of a busy street. So he'll tell me he's going there and, hopefully he uses a crosswalk. He says he does. I don't follow him around. But that was one of the big things for me, a year ago. I wouldn't have let him go.
Right.
No. Where are you going to be? whose house you're going to be at. Okay, if you leave that place, you need to call me and tell me where you're going to be. Yeah. Now I'm like, okay, where are you going? I don't know, swimming, maybe to Jake's. I'll check in at 2. Okay. You know?
Wow.
2:30 doesn't fly.
Yeah.
But he's pretty good about checking in at 2. Dad, this is where I am. You know, but he does. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of restrictions. And a lot of parents look at me strangely because he's 10. You know, and they're like, you just let your kid go? But he also hasn't had the same life that most 10-year-olds did.
Yeah.
And he's never been coddled. Like, I'm not a coddling person. I'm not, oh, let's make everything. I'm like, dude, you're going to have to figure out how to make this work on your own.
Right.
Sometime. You might as well start now, you know. Yeah. But I can, I mean, I can't tell you how many parents are like, you're just going to let your kid do that? We went on a hike with your brother.
Yeah.
Jules took his own trail.
Wow.
It's like, Dad, I'm going to go this way. And all the other dads kind of just looked around like, you cool with that? And I'm like, whatever. Like, he knows where the car is. So, worst case, he'll walk back to the car.
Yeah.
Well, what if he gets lost? I'm like, he won't get lost. Like, we can see the street. Like, he's smart. You know, I mean, and they were just like, wow, I would never let my kid, like, out of my sight like that. And just let him go off. And I'm like, well, I can tell you he's not very far. I'm like, then I yelled. I'm like, Julian, Dad, I'm right behind the other tree. I'm fine. I'm like, you know, so, but, that's I mean, funny. And, like, we got to the edge of the cliff where we sat down and talked, and I'm like, Julian, there are younger kids here. You need to set a good example. Well, his example was to climb down the edge of the cliff. Like, well, there's a better seat down here, you know, and by the time it was over, that's all the kids were down there, and the dads were like, well, I guess you got to let them learn a little bit, huh? I'm like, dude, I can't stop my kid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's it would be a power struggle, and it would be a much more embarrassing situation to be in. Trying to keep my kid from, I'm going to push the limits as far as I can, you know, and nobody got hurt. Everyone survived, you know. I think the other kids probably came out of it a little bit more independent, hopefully, you know, and said, oh, wow, I can do things without my dad having to be right here.
Yep.
You know, but a lot of those dads were like, man, you just let your kid do whatever, huh? I'm like, I guess, like, what's the worst case, you know, I mean, worst case scenario. And they're like, well, he could get bit by a rattlesnake. He could get bit by a rattlesnake walking 4 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, he's probably the one kid that would get bit by a rattlesnake because he'd be like, oh, check it out. Like, he wouldn't stop and think, oh, I should probably not do this. He would try and look at it. And it's just his nature, you know. Right. But I'm working very hard on not stopping him. You know, let him, like, let him go.
Yeah.
You know, kids didn't make it to the X Games because their parents stopped them from doing things, you know.
Right.
And who knows what you become, but I'm very much, I was as a child, very much like, oh, don't do that. You could get hurt. You could get, duh, you're going to get hurt, you know? And it was like, okay. You know, and Julian's been, like I said, he's 10 years old. He's on his third concussion.
Yeah.
You know, he gets hurt, but he doesn't stop. It's not, oh, there's fear. I got to quit, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's something as a parent that, you know, I take pride in is just letting my kid be who he is. And it's a struggle for me inside every day. I'm like, oh, this is pushing it. Tackle football. It's pushing it, you know, but what am I going to do?
Right.
You know, and he understands. I talk to him. I'm like, you're not going to make the pros, kid.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, Dad. He's like, I get that. I'm like, okay. Like, I just don't, you know, and I mean, you watch these kids and their parents. They're raising kids to make professional athletes out of them.
That's
at 10
wild.
And 11 years old, like, they're holding them back in school, and that's their life, and they're going to be, your kid's not going to be a professional athlete. Like, I hate to break the news to you, but maybe he pays for college, maybe. You know, and I hope it's a good, I hope that they are. Like, I hope for every kid that gets pushed that hard, that's what they love, number one, and that's what they want to do with their life.
Yeah.
You know, because I listen to a couple of guys that do podcasts, and there's so many professional athletes that don't love what they do. They're forced into it. They're pushed into it. That was what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to play basketball. I was born 6'10". You know, so that's what I did. Like, it's what was expected from the time I was 6 foot tall till now. So I play ball. You know, they don't love it. And that's one thing, like, I like with you is you want your kids to find what they love and be happy. You know, and I think that's a huge generational change.
Yeah.
You know, as our generation, we were expected to go to college and get a job.
Yeah.
It wasn't a question.
Yeah.
It wasn't a, oh, well, you know, I mean, I quit high school. My dad was like, then get a job now.
Yeah.
Those are your options. You go to school or you have a job. And if you have a job, you're paying rent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and that was 16 years old. And I was like, okay, I'd rather work. I didn't do well at school. I had learning disabilities that were undiagnosed. I had a lot of things go wrong, but I was, it wasn't what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I was never going to be a successful student, no matter how hard I sat down and tried at it. And it wasn't for lack of knowledge. I don't know, can't even tell you exactly why. I would say today's day and age, ADHD. I just had trouble focusing for long enough to do anything.
Yeah.
I was just all over the place. Well, back then, you were just a pain in the ass. You know what I mean? You were just disruptive. Like, yeah. Get out of my class, you're being disruptive.
Yeah.
No one said, oh, maybe he can't control being disruptive.
Right.
It wasn't ever diagnosed when we were kids. And now I think it's kind of overdiagnosed.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I don't think that was my goal. And it was not accepted. By any means, my parents were pissed.
Yeah.
You know, but we were forced. Like, you go to college, you get a job.
Right.
You know, I hope my... Abby's going to college in a year.
Yeah.
I hope when she gets out of college, she spends 10 years doing whatever she wants to do. Like, anything. Go travel, go do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah.
You can live in a truck or a van or an apartment with four other girls. Like, I don't care. But do life.
Yeah.
You know, had I known at 20 that I wasn't going to feel old at 40... I would have looked at 20 a whole lot different.
Yeah.
You know? Because you got to... I mean, when I was 20, 40 was old.
I hear
you. You looked at me like, man, that guy's old. His life's like, he's old. You get to 40 and you're like, I could still do what I do at 20. Maybe not as long and maybe for a few days of pain, but, you know. Yeah. And yeah, I don't want her to get a job and settle down to a 40-hour-a-week job in her 20s. Like, that's when you should be able to say, I need to figure out who I am.
Yeah.
And grow and travel and see the world, because kids in a mortgage kind of change that. You know?
Yeah, that is
absolutely
true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, no doubt about it.
Yep. Well, I guess in closing, I mean, is there anything you'd like to share with other dads that you figured out as a dad that would help, or advice you would have for new dads coming in, or dads that have been doing this for a while that are struggling? Or
yeah, you know, I guess the biggest thing is you hear from every parent how fast it goes.
Right.
Right. And it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. But, you know, and I'm seeing it, right? It's
right. Like
my kids are old enough that they're independent. And
right.
They're, you know, a lot of times instead of feeling like, oh, man, I just wish I could have some time to myself. This is, you know, so much. You know, now sometimes I'll go and say, hey, Catherine, you want to do something? No, sorry. No, okay, fine. And, you know, go to Zach and right. Say, Zach, let's do this. No, I want to do this. All right. And then, you know, Josh, no, I'm going to go see if Elliot can play. All right.
Right.
You know, right. So I'm starting to get more time to myself, and it's not quite as sweet as I thought it might be.
Right.
So just, yeah, treasure every minute. And even when you're playing, you know, the same game with your four-year-old, old for the 100th time,
right,
treasure it, love it, do it,
right,
and just try to be there as much as you can with your kids. And at the same time, we all need time for ourselves,
right?
If you're given 100% of yourself to your job and your kids and not and your wife and not saving any time for yourself, then you're not going to be there as strongly with
right.
them as you would otherwise be. So tough to find a balance, but, you know, work towards it.
The key. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Joel. I appreciate it.